Logging on.
And then we're all going to play Halo for 12 hours straight on the internet so that I can use up, so I can get every last drop of my data. Fucking. Are we recording?
Yeah.
Okay, good. like, I just thought of this when we were talking about, like, because the fucking thing was having problems and everything. Is there a worse, like, thing in the world? This is the most, like, first world problem ever. But there's nothing I hate more than when my cables, like, stop working. Or, like, you have to move them around, like, in a certain spot because... And I think I'm talking out of my ass on this one, but I'm just going to take a shot in the dark and see if I'm right. Your cables will deteriorate, like in your HDMI and your phone charger and like all that stuff, because it's sending electric signals through the cable. And it's like, this stuff's not meant to be able to take that information and have those electric signals sent before it, like, you know, fucking breaks down and shit. I'm not sure if I'm talking out of my ass on this one, but like either way, nothing like is a bigger pain in my ass than when my HDMI cables aren't working. And I have to like go behind the TV and move them in a certain position or like loop the like cable over the TV to make it like so that it works.
Yeah.
And stuff like nothing like is a that might be one of my biggest pet peeves ever, is my cables wearing down and then just like not like functioning. And you have to like put it in a certain position. It's happening with my phone charger lately.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, is the only time I've ever had like that kind of problem would be with a phone charger. And that's just because they're so like poorly made.
Right.
Like those Apple like phone chargers break down constantly.
I just always lose those. That's my problem. I lost a cable for mine. I had to go to Best Buy and like get like a one, and it was like a replacement one. It's not made by Apple or anything like that. And it just like, I've had it for maybe 5 months and it's already like fucking breaking down. I have to constantly like fuck with it.
Yeah.
To make it so that it charges my phone, which is just like a humongous pain in my ass. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, no, totally. You know what's never a pain in the ass though, Taylor? It's recording the chat room.
We're once again and on this network, it's just pretty much Ben and I once again, because we're the only ones who actually care.
That's not true. It doesn't happen that often. It's been a while since we've had a chat room where it's just you and me.
A lot of movie clubs, it's just you and I, but we'll usually, if anything, we can get Cal and Mara on there. Chat room, we usually are able to like pull Riley in, but it feels like lately, like at least half of the podcasts we do for this network are just you and I from now on.
Yeah.
I mean, it helps that we're like the only ones who like live by each other, but.
Yeah,
like,
it definitely makes it easier, you know. Everybody's got a lot of shit going on.
Yeah, that, and they just don't care. They're not dedicated. They're not in this to win this.
Well,
they didn't throw all their chips on the table. I'm putting y'all on blast. I'm fat and fed up.
Just Chris and Riley, when you listen to this, remember who's talking. Don't lump me in together. I was trying to defend you.
Ben and I are the only ones who care. Don't at me.
Welcome to the chat room, where we talk about all the important issues of the day. Like, you know what? I want to put this out here in the ether, Taylor.
Are we ethering?
No, not in a nah sense. I mean, out in the open. I want to make a bold prediction that I want to be on the record. So I think in 2019. We will legitimately believe that the Timberwolves are a NBA championship contender.
In 2019,
so give them a year together.
Give them a year together. They worked their ass off to put it together. Yeah. This, I think they saw just how well like Karl Anthony Towns progressed in his second season. And then Andrew Wiggins, he is one of those people who is like potential, like sky is the limit for him. He just hasn't completely gotten his game all together. But like I think they just saw like what they had and they're like, just like, fuck it, let's go for it. The Timberwolves have spent so goddamn long just being like either a mediocre or a straight up bad team in the NBA. And I think they just got kind of sick of it.
I think that they're a team because, yeah, they made all the right moves this offseason.
Oh, yeah.
And like did a lot of good drafting leading up to it.
Right.
or trading with draft picks and that kind of stuff. But anyway, I think that they're going to be a playoff team this year.
Absolutely. I foresee them as like a 4 or 5 seed.
Yeah, I think they're going to be a team that maybe gives someone a tough time in the first round or something. Maybe they get to the second round. And I think the next time around, we get like, after all those guys have playoff experience, they understand how it works. All those younger guys, Jimmy Butler obviously has it. Jamal Crawford obviously has it. But you give all the younger guys, you get them experience. They come back the next year, maybe throw in a couple like veteran guys that can come and kind of fill out roster spots.
Yeah.
I think that they could be really, really dangerous this following year.
I'm trying to remember, did they bring in a new, because I know they dealt out Ricky Rubio, right?
Yeah, and they got Jeff Teague.
Jeff Teague, that's who I was thinking of. And Teague was a fucking, he was a beast in Atlanta.
Yeah.
All
right, so here, this is like,
he didn't do shit last year.
Whoever starts at power forward is going to be kind of a question mark, but we have Jeff Teague, we have Jimmy Butler, we have Andrew Wiggins, and Karl Anthony Towns.
I mean, you got Butler's a superstar.
Yeah.
Karl Anthony Towns is going to be like, he's going to be in that fight with Giannis and Anthony Davis in like 3 years for who's the best player in the league.
And I think Wiggins is going to be a really good Robin to Jimmy Butler.
And which is great. Well, to Jimmy Butler, which that's kind of crazy though. Like, Jimmy Butler was picked late round. He was
the final pick of the first round.
He was like a junior or a senior coming out of Marquette.
He was a junior.
Yeah. So he was like on the older side and everything. Mm-hmm. It's kind of crazy to see just how far he's progressed. I mean, he was a pretty decent player his first couple of years in the league for the Bulls utilizing him. And it's really going to help them a lot that he likes playing with Tibbs.
Yeah.
Because Jimmy Butler, he's like a maximum effort. Like, he's in that Russell Westbrook category where there is no off switch with him.
Yeah.
Like, he's going 100% even if he doesn't have anything left. And like Russ and Jimmy Butler, who else is like that? He's no good, but like deli trays like that.
Yeah.
and that's really going to help them a lot. It's going to help Karl Anthony Towns' defense overall to have another year playing under Thibodeau, because that's the one like hole in his game, is that he's not a real good post defender. But another year under Tibbs is only going to do you good, since Tibbs is like the single best defensive basketball coach of the last 10 years, honestly.
Yeah.
I can't think of anybody else who's better. Although the Warriors are very underrated as far as their defense goes.
Yeah.
And Draymond Green goes a long way.
Yeah. They made Kevin Durant look like a good defensive player.
Well, I mean, Kevin Durant's also 7 feet tall with like a 7'5" wingspan.
Yeah. But when he was playing for the Thunder, he never really played defense.
Well, that's because nobody on the Thunder really played. Other than Thabo. Thabo and Ibaka, nobody really played defense on that team anyway.
That's what I'm saying, though, is like coming to that new system, like helped Kevin Durant become a more well-rounded player.
The fact that he has guys who can pick up the slack for him, because it was just him and Russ on that team. And now he doesn't have to worry about this guy because Draymond's got him. He doesn't have to worry about this guy because Klay Thompson's got him. So he can just kind of stick with his own man. But like another year under Tibbs is only going to do wonders and do great things for Wiggins and Karl Anthony Towns on defense. Wiggins was like, he was looking like a really good wing defender coming out of college, and he just like hasn't really shown it so far in the NBA.
Yeah.
He can put up points, but he hasn't like completely reached even close to what his potential is. And then Jeff Teague, we've seen that he can be great in Atlanta. And then they just picked up Jamal Crawford.
Yeah, so
which is going to help them a lot.
They have two
too.
Of the best bench players in the league with Taj Gibson and Jamal Crawford.
Yep. They might actually be, if depending on who else is on their team that they can put at the four, they might start Taj.
That's what I was saying, is the four is kind of up in the air.
Well, and especially because Thibodeau's the coach. I bet he does. I actually bet he does start Taj Gibson because Tibbs is the coach.
Yeah.
And Tibbs loves Taj.
Well, because it's either Jimmy Butler or, like,
no, you can't start Butler at the four.
It's Taj. It's either Taj Gibson or Adrian Payne or
no, not Adrian Payne.
Gordy Dang.
Oh, Gorjui Dang.
Yeah, whatever.
He might actually be the start. No, I think Taj is going to start for him. Deng did, he started for most of the season for him, but he's like maybe in his third year in the league, but he never really had a very high skill set. He got a good ceiling, but not a very good skill set. Whereas, like, Karl Anthony Towns has a fucking high ceiling and an amazing skill set. Yeah. The Wolves are going to be great. The Thunder have, like, this 1 year that they have to, and it's going to be insane to watch Russell Westbrook and Paul George play together. It's not going to be quite like when Russ and Kevin Durant were playing with each other.
It's not going to be even close.
But Paul George is like, he's a top 10 guy in the league. Like, he's still like, he can get buckets and he can defend. Like,
I don't know. I don't know about that.
It's not the Thunder when those two guys were together.
Any team would be glad to have Paul George. He's a great player, but top 10 seems like a stretch.
No, I think he's a top 10. I mean, I don't know. Who else do you have in your top? You have LeBron, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, James Harden, Russell Westbrook. Who else would you put in there? Kawhi.
Yeah.
Giannis. Probably Anthony Davis. And I'd probably put Paul George at like 9 or 10. Who else am I missing?
I don't know.
Did I say Harden?
You didn't say Melo.
I wouldn't put Melo in the top 10 at this point. Melo's such a good scorer, and if he's put in the right system, he can go back to being like, you know, the superstar player he was. But he's in a horrible organization with a horrible outdated system with horrible people who hate him, and not to mention that he is a fucking abominable defender.
Well, he's not in a lot of that stuff anymore.
They
got rid of Phil Jackson.
But they're still dealing him out. I think it's one of those things where, I don't know. And he said before, he's like, he likes New York. He likes being in New York.
Well, that was his whole thing with leaving Denver, is he just wanted to be in New York. He didn't care about the team. He just wanted to be in New York.
Right.
That's why instead of just going and signing with them, he had them trade 5 players to get him.
To their credit, when the first couple of years he was on the Knicks, they were actually they were one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference. They also had more pieces at that point because they had Tyson Chandler, who was a defensive stalwart at that point.
Yeah.
Not anymore. He just straight up sucks.
Yeah, they had
now.
Tyson Chandler like fresh off winning the championship.
They still had Amari.
Yeah.
And
Amari was still okay at that point.
Oh, he was still a good player. This was before his knees just completely just decided to destroy themselves.
I don't know if Amari was ever good on the Knicks. I think he was like solid.
Yeah, he was. Before Melo got there, yeah, he was.
I really don't think I think you're wrong about that.
No, Amari was great. The guy could.
Amari was like only great on the Suns.
This was like right after he had gotten traded to the Sun, traded from the Suns to the Knicks, or he was a free agent signing. Either way, it was right after he had gotten done with the Suns.
He was a free agent signing in the year that LeBron went to the Heat.
Okay, so of course, another free agent that the Bulls missed that year.
He was the piece that, because everybody was just trying to sign people that they thought LeBron wanted to play with.
Right.
So, like, that was, like, LeBron said something about how he liked Boozer, and so that's why the Bulls got Boozer.
So dumb.
He basically fucked up a ton of teams and got him to sign people who suck, like, because he had no intention of ever going anyplace else. I don't even care what people say. He was going to go to Miami the entire time.
Right. I felt like that was, he was either going to stay in Cleveland or he was going to Miami. I felt like I wanted him to go to the Bulls, but like at the same time, I kind of felt like it wasn't going to happen. And especially because at that point you're going to have to pay Derrick Rose like a max contract, or Derrick Rose was in like his, he was going into his third year or something.
Yeah. He wasn't like,
or his fourth or something like that.
But his MVP year was the year he signed after LeBron went to Miami. So it was like he wasn't on max contract level yet at that point.
LeBron's first year in Miami was when he.
No, I mean, that's what I'm saying is
but I think he was.
They weren't thinking about giving Derrick Rose a max contract when they were signing LeBron.
I think he was like in his contract year, though, because he signed that extension that year.
Yeah, after he won MVP.
For like $100-something million and then played a total of like 70 games over the next 4 years.
Like, he was not like. That season was a huge jump up. He was not like at that level the year before.
Right, right. I mean, the Bulls were in the playoffs the year before.
They were the 8th seed the year before.
And like they still had Deng, who was good.
No, that's like, but they had okay players, but I'm saying like they were the eighth seed and Derrick Rose was not what he was that MVP.
Right. I get, what you're saying.
I'm just saying like, if you're taking yourself back to that time, they're not thinking, well, we have to give Derrick a max contract because he wasn't necessarily a max contract player at that point. He was after he won MVP, but actually he wasn't after he won MVP, but when he won MVP, you think like, yeah, give him a max contract.
That is one of the biggest like what ifs of sports in my mind is what if Derrick Rose's knees did not just completely collapse? Like what could have been? Like think about it, the Bulls at that point. Like the Bulls every year in the regular season, they were the one seed for those couple of years that Rose was like a max contract player. And, you know, they had Boozer, Noah, Deng, all those guys. They had a relatively like deep bench as far as, and they were like the best defensive team in the league because they had Tibbs. Think about how Tibbs got the Bulls to like a 4-5 seed every year without Derrick Rose and his best player being Joakim Noah.
Yeah.
He is a damn good coach.
Yeah, he really is. I thought it was bullshit when they fired him.
I would kill for him right now. I do not like the mayor.
But yeah, no, I mean, that year after Derrick Rose's MVP year, it was kind of like, well, they're going to go to the championship. Like, it was kind of like one of those, like, they could beat Miami. They had beaten Miami they beat them the first game of the series.
Oh, so it was like 2-1 at one. Because I remember they were a game. They had gotten two wins in that series, and then Miami just like Miami put LeBron on Rose, and it was just like all over.
Yeah, they won the first game, and then
Taj Gibson like dunked and put his like fucking nuts in D Wade's face or something like that. It was the most disrespectful that was the first thing game I've ever seen.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it was just like they had beaten Miami a lot in the regular season and put up a good fight in that Eastern Conference Finals that it was like, all right, well, now you got Derrick Rose coming off his MVP year. You got everybody working together another year. This is now the second year under Tibbs. Like he's got a year to put his system in. Everybody's like, they're going to go to the championship. And
right. The only other contenders in the East at that point were like, it was Chicago, Miami, Boston.
Indiana was good at that time.
Were they?
Yeah.
Who do they even have?
That was when Danny Granger and Paul George were playing together.
Danny Granger, that's right.
Yeah, that was when they were playing together.
Another what if. That dude could get buckets.
Yeah. But yeah, and then it was just, and then they lost in the first round.
And it was just like a free fall after, after
it
those.
It was all downhill from there.
After those teams. Oh, like, what did you, like, Milwaukee had like the eighth seed one year, and it was because they had like literally only like players worth having on their team were Brandon Jennings and Monte Ellis, which is almost laughable at this point.
Yeah, Monte Ellis is at the point. I remember there was a long time where people were like going, because you know, that was like the narrative for a long time, was the Bulls need a shooting guard. The Bulls need a shooting guard, like pretty much up until Jimmy Butler really broke out.
Yeah.
And
nobody was expecting Butler to be like that guy.
And then like, so I saw so many things like, let's trade blah, 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 for Monte Ellis. But it's like, now we're at the point where Monte Ellis just straight up got released.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't trade him.
Yeah.
He didn't get signed by somebody else. He's just like hanging out in free agency right now.
I can't remember where I heard this, but I heard that Monte Ellis graduated high school when he was 20 years old.
Really?
That's what I heard. And then he went to the NBA draft after that. Like, he got held back a couple of times in school. I don't know if I can't remember if it's true or not, but
here's the other the other weird like in hindsight kind of thing. I remember when people were going, why did you get when the Warriors got rid of Monte Ellis? And like, why would you get rid of Monte Ellis and keep Steph Curry?
Yeah.
And people were like shocked about that.
Well, and that's because at that point,
Steph
Curry had graham cracker ankles.
Yeah. No, at that point, that was like it was one of those like, why the hell did you do that? Kind of an example of like when good GM minds know what they're doing, but
yeah,
sometimes you look back in hindsight and you're like, why did the Bulls trade LaMarcus Aldridge for Tyson Chandler or not Tyson Chandler?
Eddie Curry. Was it Eddie Curry or Tyrus Thomas?
Tyrus Thomas. Thank you. Why did they trade LaMarcus Aldridge for Tyrus Thomas? Just straight up.
It's so dumb.
Yeah. So dumb. But then there's other times you look back on it and it's like the Warriors had to choose between Steph Curry and Monte Ellis, and they picked Steph Curry.
Or my new favorite that I completely forgot about. The Bulls traded Gary Harris and Nikola Jokic, two best players on the Nuggets. Well, no, Wilson Chandler might be the best player on the Nuggets, but the two other best players on the Nuggets, Nikola Jokic and Gary Harris, both young guys with high ceilings who can score and play really well. They traded those two guys for Dougie McBuckets, and I was excited about it. I look back on that. I'm like, this did not age well at all.
Yeah.
We've all been wrong before.
Yeah. You know, that pick made perfect sense. Everything about
it's
it
what
made
they
sense.
Needed,
yeah. It should have worked out. And I don't know.
And Rose was coming back, and we all were just kind of assuming oh, he'll get back to being at the very least a good player. And I think that year he actually played a lot of games.
Yeah.
But he just wasn't as good as he was before. And so everybody was like, ah, fucking go get out of here. And then they traded him to New York.
Yeah.
In a way, Derrick Rose might have had the most complicated relationship with the Chicago fans, where they looked at him and they're like, you have to be the next Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Because you're from Chicago. You're the number one overall pick. You have to be, the savior of our franchise. And I feel like that pressure always kind of bothered him.
Yeah.
And then his knees went down and everything like that. But people really started to hate him towards the end, simply because his body wasn't holding up and because he wasn't able to get back to the superhuman level that he had.
I never got that.
It was kind of disgusting to see sometimes.
Yeah. Cause I just felt bad for him.
Yeah.
I knew that it's not like he was going yes, now I can sit on the bench and enjoy my contract.
I can't wait to sit on the bench and eat peach rings.
He wanted to play. It's not he was doing it on purpose. I felt bad for
him. It was always kind of the Jay Cutler problem, where he kind of had that I don't care face.
Yeah.
Even though
Jay Cutler had the I don't care attitude too.
Yeah, so towards the end, he really got the I don't care attitude. His teammates for a while would stick up for him. They're like, no, Jay cares about this game more than anyone. He's super competitive. And then towards the end, they're like, yeah, he doesn't care. Has any team picked Jay Cutler up, by the way?
No, he's still a contract with Fox or somebody to do commentary.
I don't see him as being
commentary, but analyst, like halftime show guy.
I just don't see that being a good fit. Tony Romo, it seemed like
Tony Romo makes a lot
of sense. It
seemed
like a good fit. Yeah. Like Jay Cutler, though, I don't know, unless they let him shotgun beers on set.
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe he'll turn into this lovable character when he's on TV.
he can be the dry humor, just fucking just says things straight up that just people's jaws drop type guy. I'd enjoy that,
What was I going to say? I had something when we were going back on. Oh, do you think Derrick Rose is the biggest fall off of an MVP? I'm trying to think of somebody. Let me look up the list of NBA MVPs.
MVPs, for what? The last 10 years, it's been either...
Kobe or LeBron.
It's either... Kobe only won,
Kobe only won one, yeah. It's Steve Nash or LeBron.
Yeah, Steve Nash, LeBron. I think Tim Duncan won a year. Kevin Durant, Steph Curry. I think Rose might be the only one for a long time that has just, completely... Their career fell off a cliff. And the thing is, he could still
he's solid.
He can still be a solid starting point guard for a lot of teams in the league. There's a lot of talk about him possibly going to Milwaukee, and being the starting point guard up there. And then even though Malcolm Brogdon had a good year, he's still he's a rookie who was drafted in the second round, and they're talking about having him on the bench so that he can learn from Rose, and then Rose can start in the meantime. And I think he'd be a good fit in Milwaukee because he wouldn't be the guy, He didn't even have to be he didn't even have to run the point or anything like that, because you can have Giannis run the point.
I get to the point in the 60s where there's guys that I just don't know that are MVPs, but
the ones that aren't Bill Russell or Elgin Baylor or Wilt Chamberlain.
Yeah. Wilt Chamberlain won three in a row. Bill Russell won three in a row, too.
See, that's back when there was 10 teams in the NBA, though, yeah. And half the league was guys who worked at the post office.
All right, well, Larry Bird won three in a row. So
yeah.
There you go. And then there was a while where it goes, so all right,
Michael Jordan.
Yeah, so Larry Bird won three in a row. Then it goes Magic, Michael, Magic, Magic, Michael, Michael, Charles.
Oh, Barkley. Yeah, that year that Barkley won the. Yeah. And it, there was a bunch of people that year who were like, they thought it was a foregone conclusion almost that the Suns were going to win because the Suns just had like a, I can't remember who was on their team, but they had the best record in the NBA. Charles Barkley was the MVP. And apparently I, from what I've heard, the roster is just absolutely stacked.
Yeah.
Or it was like stacked. But then what, those 2 years that Michael took a break, what did Hakeem win both
the
years?
The Rockets won both, yeah.
Yeah. Well,
what do you mean Hakeem? Kenny the Jet won both.
Oh, Kenny the Jet, that's yeah. right. Or Clyde the Glide.
Yeah, no, but yeah, those the 2 years that Michael Jordan played baseball, the Rockets won both.
Well, the Rockets won the championship. Who won the MVP that year? I would guess it's Hakeem or Shaq.
It is Hakeem and then David Robinson.
David Robinson, why?
And then Mike comes back and wins MVP, then Karl Malone, then Mike, then Karl Malone, then Shaq.
Yeah.
Here's another one that might be a contender for the Derrick Rose Award. Allen Iverson. Was his high higher? That's the thing. So like they both kind of fell off, but was Allen Iverson's right. high higher than Derrick Rose's?
I honestly think that at no point was Allen Iverson a better player than like
but peak, they, but he peak, went to the championship
peak, well right
that's the
but
thing.
Like peak to peak I think Rose at his best was better than AI at his best. The thing is though is that the reason why I'll go down swinging as saying that Allen Iverson's my favorite basketball player ever because he was so goddamn exciting, and he might be the best dribbler that the NBA has ever seen before.
Yeah.
Like, that motherfucker crossed up Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Didn't have to cheat to do it. Like, he fucking, like, he crossed him up, and Jordan, like, almost fell down. It was crazy. And this was when he was in his first or second year in the league. Like, Allen Iverson, that year that he won the MVP was great and amazing and everything, and he was a good player throughout his entire career. It's just that he was kind of a problem after he won the MVP. And then when he went to Denver and when he went to Memphis, I want to say that he signed with a team. It might've been Memphis. He signed with a team for them like for 9 or 10 days. And then just like they released him. but like, and AI is actually in the, I will turn on the TV and I actually checked out Ice Cube's like 3-on-3 league.
I've been meaning to watch that.
AI's in that league.
Yeah.
And they've got a bunch of guys who just recently like left the NBA. Like Al Harrington.
Yeah.
Is in there. Just like a bunch of guys who
Jason Williams in there too.
Yeah, Jason Williams. I only caught like the tail end though. It was like the recap show, and I was looking at who was on there. I'm like, wow. I can't believe how many of these names I actually recognize, but it's like all old NBA players from throughout like the 2000s decade. And then we're just like would sign for veteran minimums with teams for the last like 3 years.
Do you know what the largest gap between MVP awards for the multi winners? Do you know what the largest gap is?
Like, as in when...
Or not, actually, from their first one to their last one is what I'm trying to say.
From their first one to their last one, or from, like when they win one and then the next time they win one?
Their first one, then their last one is what I'm trying to say. Like, okay. What's the largest gap between their first one and their last one?
Well, let's see. MJ was what? He won his first one in, what, 86 or 87? Something like that. And then he won his last one in, like, 98. So that's 11 years. LeBron won his first one in 2007, right? He didn't? I could have sworn he did. Maybe it was a year before.
Keep guessing.
Well, I'm not making any formal okay. guesses right now.
Right.
Would it be Kareem?
Is that your guess?
That's my guess.
Okay. Kareem is 9 years.
Okay.
He had 1971, 1972, 1974, 1976, 1977, 1980.
Okay.
With a total of 6 MVPs.
I wasn't sure if he won another one in the 80s.
However, Michael Jordan with 10 years is the longest.
Okay.
With 1988, 1991, 92, 96, 98.
Okay.
LeBron is 2009, 10, 12, 13.
Okay. For some reason, I thought he might have won MVP in 2000. Oh, no. Steve Nash won that year. That's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
No.
He did?
2009 would be...
No, I was saying 2000... Because I was thinking he won his first one in 2007 when the Cavs went to the finals the first time.
05 and 06 is Steve Nash. And then Dirk is 07.
Oh, that's... I forgot that Dirk won one in there. By the way, Dirk Nowitzki, forever banned from the Finesse Hall of Fame. he's a damn fool for... Like, firstly, the Mavs are not going to be competitive in the West this year. So why are you taking less money to bring in guys when you're not going to be like in any sort of contention for a playoff spot? Secondly, he's never gotten that like true contract that he deserved or anything like that. And considering that the Mavs are just going to suck for the next few years anyway, like fucking like why are you taking 2 years for 10? When you're Dirk Nowitzki and you've never gotten that big deal that you should have.
Is anybody, I mean, he's 40. Is anybody going to give him a big deal?
Okay, but like, if he go, honestly, I wouldn't say that he would be getting a max contract anywhere, but he could do better than 2 for 10. Like, he's not even trying.
Yeah. Well, so I wonder though if he's just one of those guys that just doesn't really care. Because it's not like he's, first of all, $10 million for 2 years is not chump change. It is in the grand
for
scheme
of... For you and
of,
me, that's
in,
not chump change.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, in the grand scheme of basketball, yeah, that's not anything.
That's like...
But does he... That's what I'm wondering. He never seems like a guy who lives, like, a lavish lifestyle. Like, maybe he's just like, yeah, you know what? I make enough money. I like playing in Dallas, so, like, why not? Like,
right, but it's like... I don't know. Because he's obviously... He's got to be nearing the fucking end here. He might still be one of the three best players on the Mavericks, even though he's like 40.
Well, he's just got like an ageless game. That's the thing.
Well, yeah, he has an ageless game. He also has very good like longevity. He's never had like a major injury or anything
like
that.
He's a lot like Tim Duncan in that way.
He's the complete opposite of Chandler Parsons so far. And Chandler Parsons is making like 50 times as much as he is.
Yeah.
It's like one of those things where I'm like, I feel like he's getting conned. Like, he should be making more money than he is, and this idea that he needs that he's taking less so that he can... Like, for Tom Brady to take less so that they can sign more players for the Patriots is different because the Patriots are in contention to win the Super Bowl every single year. They're the odds-on favorite to win every single year. So it's like, if Tom Brady takes less so that they can bring in more people, yeah, whatever. But, like, the Mavs aren't even close to being a championship team, so why are you, like, being a fool? Like, I honestly... And... What's going to happen? What is Mark Cuban just like not going to sign Dirk Nowitzki?
I don't know. Maybe.
I could you imagine like what fucking like I feel like Mavs fans would lose their minds if that happened. And I feel like Dirk would probably just retire, you know, if he's not going to. I don't picture him like playing for a different that like Dirk and the Mavs go hand in hand.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's what I just. I don't think that Mark Cuban's the type of guy who's going to pay for past performance. But I also like I also just don't think that and I don't know these guys personally, but I'm just kind of seeing from like an outsider perspective. Dirk just doesn't seem like the type of guy who cares. Like he's just like
I think I read somewhere that Dirk doesn't even have like an agent.
Yeah.
Which,
I mean, that could explain
part of
it.
Which is why I think
yeah.
he's getting swindled because he's negotiating. Because if he doesn't have an agent, he's negotiating these deals.
Well, yeah, but I mean, he's not stupid. Like he looks around the league and sees what other people's contracts are.
I think because the Mavs aren't in any sort of contention to win, he's probably in his last couple of years playing in the league. He should get that Kobe contract.
But that Kobe contract was idiotic.
The Kobe contracts.
That was a really stupid thing that crippled the Lakers.
The Lakers were already crippled at that point.
But that just made it worse. That was like a nail in the coffin. Like, that was such a stupid thing to do. The
Lakers are about to turn around, though.
You should never pay for past performance.
I don't know. I really think because Dirk is taking these lowball deals, like, with how much money he's given back, somebody did the math on it, and he's given essentially what he's missed out on relative to like what he should be getting paid based on his stats, what other people who post what he posts and everything like that.
Yeah.
Because I think he also should be getting this money because he's actually still like a good player. And he's essentially not taken like $200 million worth of money that he could have gotten with the Mavs, which I think is just like, to me, you're like, whether or not you're a good guy who doesn't really need the money or doesn't spend it, whatever, like, fine. If you really, ultimately it's his money, so he can do whatever the hell he wants with it. And I can't say a fucking thing about it. But to me, that just seems like you're getting played.
Yeah, I mean, I understand where you're coming from. I'm just saying that, like, I don't know. Let me try to find his, like,
ultimately contracts. It's his money. He can do whatever the hell he wants with it. But yeah, like, that's just something where, I don't know, I'm very like pro player. So I'm just like, I'm very of the mindset of,
you have to remember too, that like, this doesn't make up a huge amount of it, but he's also not paying income tax.
Well, I mean, that helps.
Playing in Texas.
You know, you'd figure, like, why isn't Dallas able, because Dallas is a large city, yeah, with a great media market and great, like, endorsement opportunities, why the Mavericks can never attract free agents?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, and they have an NBA championship. They've got a guy like Dirk Nowitzki, who's incredibly intelligent when it comes to basketball.
That championship team was fun to watch. That was a good one.
Yeah, and it was a championship team that it felt like a championship team that just came like out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Or not like out of nowhere. They were the second seed, but it,
I love JJ Barrett.
Nobody was expecting for the Mavericks to beat the Heat.
Yeah. I love JJ Barrett. He was really fun.
Like that was just like that team was the perfect storm. Like it was the perfect storm of stuff having to happen for them to be able to beat the Miami Heat, where, like, of course, Dirk's going to, you know, get his, and Dirk's a great player. He has the second most unguardable move in basketball history with that, like, one-legged fadeaway.
Yeah.
Like, nobody can guard that. It's right up there with the Kareem skyhook. But then, like, Jason Terry goes off. Sean Marion actually shuts LeBron down.
Yeah.
Like, it was just J.J. Barea played great. The Heat had Mike Bibby, so that didn't help them. By the way, Mike Bibby's in the 3-on-3 league too.
Nice.
It was just like the perfect storm of everything happening going their way. And of course, Rick Carlisle is not only like, Rick Carlisle is also a top 5 coach in the league. Like, mm-hmm. Rick Carlisle, I feel kind of bad because he's been kind of handed like garbage rosters now and then. And he's pretty much had to make chicken salad out of chicken shit. But like, Rick Carlisle, top 5 coach in the league, and then you have like 3 guys who nobody was expecting to be able to do the things that they did.
Yeah,
that team was fun to watch though.
It's crazy when you, so like, you know, all those European players, they start playing professionally earlier, or they start playing professional, yeah, earlier than everybody else. But if you count the 4 years that he played professional in Germany, Dirk's been playing professional basketball for 23 years.
Yeah. He's been playing.
It's insane.
Yeah. He's been playing professional basketball almost as long as we've been alive.
Yeah.
And like I said, he's still one of the 3 best players on the Mavericks.
Yeah. No, he's just very much like Tim Duncan, where it's just like, he could play for as long as he wants.
Doesn't get
and he could just retire whenever he wants.
Doesn't get injured and has an ageless game. Well, yeah. Tim Duncan was starting to go a little bit down. I feel like he got out at the right time.
Yeah. He probably still would have been a solid piece on a championship contending team, like, if he had stuck around, yeah, for another contract. But he definitely, like, he left on a high for, yeah, sure. Like, he left on the, like, yeah, the right time.
Like, the 2 guys, they don't have the flashiest games. As a matter of fact, they're very not flashy. They're very fundamental oriented. But because of that, they had such good longevity where, yeah, they, because their games relied on, you know, Timmy relied on bank shots and like post moves and all that other stuff, and also relied on being 7 foot tall.
Yeah.
You know, Dirk,
it helps.
Dirk relies on being a great shooter and having the second most unguardable basketball move in history. And, you know, the shot that nobody, I can't think of any time that anybody's ever blocked Dirk on that like one-legged fadeaway. And so like, their old man games transitioned just perfectly. you know, Tim Duncan was 39 or 40 years old and he won an NBA title.
Yeah.
Or I don't know if he was that old, but like, you know,
I think Tim Duncan retired when he was 39.
Okay. So he would have been when they beat the Heat, that would have been, he would have been like 37 or something.
But yeah, I mean, well, and you know, we just talked about two guys with Derrick Rose and AI. These games were very flashy and very athletic,
but they didn't
look how their careers
lasted. Well, because their games were very like predicated on speed.
Yeah.
And speed just like does not hold. You have to be able to transition to something like Kobe stopped dunking after a while.
Yeah, well, exactly. Like Kobe and Jordan, like both learned how to adapt when they stopped, like when they lost like the speed in the spring.
Right.
You know, like,
and like, yeah, Kobe just like fucking chucked it up whenever he wanted. He was not a very, towards the end of his career, he was a very inefficient player.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like he still had a game that he could play and he still was the best player on the Lakers at that point.
The craziest thing is that LeBron really hasn't had to do that switch yet.
He hasn't had to. Well, and another guy doesn't. It really, not having injuries can go so can go such a long way. Like you hear stories about LeBron has to take like cortisone shots throughout the season a bunch of times, just to like keep like everything there. But LeBron has like the most ridiculous training program. I want to say he bikes like 25 or 30 miles a day.
Yeah.
And he obviously, you know, he's got the money where he can pay for the world's best doctors that can keep him in shape. And he's very like Michael Jordan in a way that he's very meticulous about everything in his life. Like he's very meticulous about how he's branded and how he's marketed. He's very meticulous with what he eats and what, like he does workout wise and everything like that. He's very meticulous with how he's perceived by the public and all this stuff. And, but you know, it really goes a long way. The fact that he's never had a major injury and he can still like, he's still one of the most athletic people in the league and he's 32.
Yeah.
And he's been playing in the NBA since he was 18 years old.
Well, because that was like what I was like one of my big arguments when he was on like back like in the Heat days or whatever, is that I didn't know what his game was going to look like when he had to transition into the old man game.
Transition,
but he hasn't had to transition yet. Like he's at the point. He's actually been at the point where he's supposed to transition, and he hasn't had to yet.
Yeah.
It's crazy. That's like the craziest thing I think.
He's obviously not going to be able to do the things that he can do, like get into the rim and you know being able to fucking like jump with a 40-foot vertical all the time and chase down blocks and stuff like that. He's not going to that stuff will go away, but. So he's going to have to, the easiest way to transition to old man game is being a great passer or being a great shooter. He's not a fantastic shooter, but he's
a great passer.
He can shoot. LeBron James may be the best passer in NBA history. Magic Johnson, yes, but LeBron might have the best basketball IQ we've ever seen. He knows where guys are going to be before they do. And the guy's got a rocket for an arm.
I mean, I don't know. I think we've had some pretty great passers in the history of the NBA.
Okay, like, yes. Like, I'm willing to listen to arguments about, I'm not saying definitively, LeBron James is the best passer in the NBA, and I will hear none of it. No, like, Magic Johnson, of course.
Like, John Stockton. John Stockton was a freak.
I cannot stand John Stockton.
He's a freak, though, man. That dude was, like, such an incredible passer. But,
like, he has the most boring game ever. It's like, I'm 5'11", and I'm really good at passing. I'm like, oh, I don't want to watch this.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying, though, is that was like his thing. That was like his whole thing was being a great passer.
Yeah. But like, you know, okay, like Stockton, Johnson, Jason Kidd, Steve Nash. Who else was a really good passer? Jerry West.
Yeah, there's guys in like the 70s that you
like
think
Pistol
of.
Like, Pete, yeah, like, yeah. Pistol Pete and what was it? Tiny Archibald.
Yeah.
Bob Cousy.
Yeah.
Bob Cousy. By the way, Bob Cousy killed the Tri-City Blackhawks. We don't have an NBA team here in the Quad Cities because Bob Cousy killed it.
That's what I've been saying.
I blame you forever.
Yeah, I would think if you were going to make like best passer in NBA history, it would have to be like Magic or John Stockton. If I was going to make the argument, but
yeah, they definitely have an argument for it.
It definitely helps though I'm not going to say that like their success is completely because of this, but they also both played with really good big men. Kareem and Karl Malone.
Well, the Lakers were just stacked all around. Yeah. Like they were just a fucking, they were a super team, you know?
Yeah, they definitely were.
You know, and then the Jazz, they just had a system. They had Jerry Sloan as a coach, and his system just worked perfectly for like having Malone and Stockton. They were perfect for what he ran. And then Malone was just a great player. He's a terrible human, but like he's a great player.
That's what like when people, I've given up on the whole like LeBron versus Jordan fight because like I just don't think it's like, I don't know. I think they're both great. Like that's kind of, we're just at that point.
I would say
they both have completely different games.
I would say that they're, I would say they're the two best players in NBA history. I would put them one and two. I would actually put Kareem third and then Magic fourth. But I always compare LeBron. Like I always say, you can't compare LeBron to Jordan because they have two different games.
They played in two completely different NBAs.
But they have two completely different games where Jordan was a scorer, primarily a scorer. LeBron's game almost completely, like, he has the same exact game almost as Magic Johnson.
Yeah. But so what I was going to say, though, is, like, people, like, when they get mad about that, like, well, Jordan was undefeated in the finals and LeBron's record, and they go, like, Jordan never had to play the Warriors. It's like, look at that fucking Showtime Lakers team that Jordan had to beat. And, like, you're telling me they whooped their ass, too.
Yeah,
they swept them. Jordan swept.
That was also Showtime, like towards the like down, like the decline of Showtime.
I'm just saying, like people are very disrespectful of '90s teams when they talk about like the fucking like Boston Celtics right now as if they're better than every like '90s team. It's like, guys, come on. I'm not saying that Jordan's that LeBron's accomplishments are diminished by not playing those 90s teams, but you can't say that Jordan's accomplishments are diminished by playing those 90s teams.
Well, I would say
it's insane. Like,
I would say it's fair to compare in like a sense of like how quote unquote good teams are. I think it's fair to compare any team from in between 1981 or two to now. I think that's fair. I think if you're from before the 1980s, if your team's from before the 1980s, unless you're Wilt Chamberlain or Kareem Abdul-Jabbar or even Bill Russell, I don't want to hear anything about how you could play in today's NBA.
But like, I don't buy this narrative that today's NBA is so much better than it was in the 90s.
I think the players on the whole are slightly better.
Yeah.
But not that much better.
I would say it's like an overall, like every player in the league, like averaged, we're probably at a better level now because there were some scrubs in the 90s.
Yeah.
But like people are so disrespectful of like bona fide Hall of Famers that like Jordan had to beat to like win championships.
Right. Like you can't and plus my big thing is you have to watch like the games from back then. You know, and obviously you have to watch the games from now and see what the guys are able to do now. But like, that's the reason why I don't really show much respect to anybody who played from 1979 back, because I've watched like film from that and it just looks terrible. Like guys are only dribbling with their right hand. Fucking they're playing in like chucks and everything. It's not until you get to like Lakers Celtics era that basketball started to take off. And that's why, because you have basketball is becoming more popular. So you've got more people watching and you got more people who are going and playing it. That's why I think the NBA is only going to get nothing but better, because the NBA is like the one sport where their viewing audience grows every year.
Yeah.
Like football's viewing audience keeps shrinking. Baseball's viewing audience keeps shrinking. The revenue doesn't keep shrinking, but that's because they negotiate absurd TV deals. College football, I want to say it's shrinking every year. Just football on the whole is just shrinking because less people are playing it because their parents aren't letting them do it because it's the most fucking dangerous sport ever.
Yeah. It's the real most dangerous game.
Right.
It's not man.
So more people, like obviously, you know, most people, like most parents, have their kids play sports at some point or another because it does teach good values of like teamwork, you know, working, you know, giving your best effort. Not to mention it helps your kids work off energy and stuff like that, which they need to do and, you know, keep them in shape. So more people are having their kids play basketball because it's not violent like football is. And now I think with you, when you see these gigantic Supermax deals that guys are signing,
yeah,
like James Harden just signed one yesterday for 4 years and $228 million. And you look at the money, like basketball, like the best basketball players are making twice as much money as the best football players without having to get brain trauma to do so. Like, football's dying and basketball is getting, like,
from an economic soaring standpoint, there's no reason to play football.
There is no reason to play football at this point when you see how much guys. Now, granted, there's, you know, on an active NBA roster, there's 12 to 14 guys that they can pull from.
Yeah.
Not to mention D League guys, but we're not really counting those. As opposed to a football roster, you have more specialized positions that you can go towards, and then you have, you know, 53 guys on the roster.
Yeah. Well, because, I mean, it is. It's not as simple as going, like, you know, I'm a kicker in the NFL and now I'm going to play basketball. Like,
right,
it's not,
right.
You know, you can't just, like,
right,
make, like, honestly, a weird transition like that.
Honestly, but there's only, like, physical attribute wise, that's kind of what makes football a little bit interesting. Like, you have to be big in football, you know, for your body to hold up and everything like that, and to be good at the positions and everything. That's why I think soccer is so fucking interesting, because you have literally people of all shapes and sizes. Like, the arguable best player in the world, Leo Messi, is like 5'6". He's like 5'6" and 130 pounds. And he is like he could be argued as the best player in the world. And then you've got guys who are like Romelu Lukaku just signed a big deal with Manchester United. He's like 6'3" and like 200 something pounds. And they both play similar, like Lukaku and Messi both play forward. And they're completely different body types. And it's like, it's all about like how you design your team and how you want them to be able to play with each other, which is why I find soccer so interesting, is that it's a sport where like you have to have certain skills and attributes and everything. But ultimately, not only because there's so many teams, but there can be a place for everyone and for them to succeed at that place if they're utilized correctly, as opposed to like basketball and football. Like, you do have to be like, unless you're Muggsy Bogues or Earl Boykins or something like that, or
Nate Robinson,
or
Isaiah Thomas.
I'm trying to think of a football player.
Wes Welker.
Like Wes Welker. Like, you know, you can find positions for those guys, but they have to be extraordinary talents or they have to be extraordinary talented compared to what their size is. Generally in football and basketball, they're looking for certain like size parameters, whereas in like soccer, they're just looking for like, how good are you at this position?
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter if you're 6'2" or something like that. Like Messi had to take like growth hormone because he wasn't growing fast enough. Like, he had to take growth hormone when he was 12, because they figured that he was just going to be so tiny, and he's the best fucking player in the world. Well, no, I would say Ronaldo's the best in the world, but like, and that's what's so interesting to me about soccer, is that it's like just body types all over. Just doesn't matter, like, really how big you are, just as long as you're good.
And there you go. There you have it,
this
folks.
This is probably the most sports centric pod, like, chat room that we've talked about sports a lot, but like, I don't know. This is kind of like my forte. So it's like, I like that we got to do an entire sports cast. I remember when we first started doing Alien Happy Hour, and we kind of shelved I was going to do a sports show, and we kind of shelved it.
Well, I figure, like, I mean, you know, Chris and Riley know sports, but
on a very rudimentary level.
But like, yeah. So like, they probably could have hung with us for a lot of this stuff, but like, I like to deep dive when it's just you and me.
Right.
And well, like, I guess really this was mostly really like get in the weeds.
This is mostly a basketball centric podcast, but Riley just reads things, doesn't watch the games. And Chris just watches like LeBron games.
So he could have told us how LeBron has beaten the Warriors.
Yes. He could have said he beat them one time.
And that makes him better than Jordan.
And it makes him better than Michael Jordan and Karl Malone and, or not Karl Malone, but Magic Johnson put together.
Oh, how quickly we forget. What I hope you don't forget.
Disrespectful.
What I hope you don't forget is to subscribe on the iTunes and on the Stitchers and on the Google Plays and on the podcast app of your choice. That way you don't have to be like search around for the episode. They'll just automatically download. Yeah. Super easy for you. So hit subscribe. And also if SoundCloud's your speed, I didn't mention that one, but we're also on SoundCloud. Facebook, Alien Happy Hour, and Twitter at Alien Happy Hour to keep up with everything going on, the videos and the podcast and all that stuff. We got a lot of good stuff coming up. It's we have Movie Club 100 right around the bend, which if you're a fan of the stuff we do, that's going to be a don't miss episode. And Fast and the Curious is coming back. We got a couple episodes in the bank that I've been editing and getting ready to go. And we should have that out on Wednesday. So check back on YouTube.com, Alien Happy Hour, and check out Fast and the Curious when that's out on Wednesday. Also, the final thing that I need to plug is if you like supporting our content, if you like, you know, we appreciate you just subscribing and listening. But if you want to go to the next level with it, you can go to patreon.com/alienhappyhour.
Oh, they can go to patreon.com/alienhappyhour?
Yes, patreon.com/alienhappyhour.
Oh, wow. Wait, what's the website again?
It's www.8... Damn it.
8-10 school.
It's www.patreon.com/patreon.com/ Alien Happy Hour at Rev Rye Bread.
At Rev Rye Bread. Oh, great. Now I know where to go.
So patreon.com/alienhappyhour. Even if it's just a dollar, we appreciate it. So you can head over there if you want to like take your whole fandom to the next level.
And help us, you know, so that we can pay our bills every month and also maybe get some better stuff, but mostly pay our bills.
You get episodes early. You get behind the scenes stuff, all sorts of goodies. So check it out. Patreon.com/alienhappyhour.
Yeah. So check out, you know, patreon.com/alienhappyhour.
That's I always trip over
WWE.
www.wwe.com/alienhappyhour/@RevRyeBread.
Yes. That's where you can go to support our cause.
Right. Taylor is at Taylor Not So Gang. And I am at Ben Schwind, and you can follow both of us at Alien Happy Hour. Thanks for listening. This is us logging off.